So good morning, brothers and sisters from CACC. It's good to see you all. Haven't seen you all for like a while. I hope you all have a very wonderful summer. And for some of you, I hope you have a significant improvement in your tennis skill as well. And thank you, Caleb, for reading out today's passage. And thank to you and the worship team for leading us, for using the music to lead us into a space where we can admire of who God is and what God has done, and to be aware of His presence as well. So, all right, today we will start a new sermon series called Hidden Figures. I believe many of us know, like, already, like, the Bible is actually full of stories. More than 40% of the Bible is written in narrative. That means story. And most of the narratives there are characters. And some characters in the Bible have the name mentioned, you know, like Moses, Ruth, Elijah, Peter, Paul, and Mary, etc. And some don't. So in the plain sight, they seem to be hidden. But in fact, they are very crucial. And the experience is worth for us to have a look at. So I would like to spend 3 Sundays, not next Sunday, but like it will be in total 3 Sundays, I kind of forgot what date, with you all, unpacking the stories of 3 not very well-known, but very important people in the Bible, and see what we can learn from them. So let us pray before we dive into today's story. Father Lord, as we gather together as your people today, we ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word. Lord, please silence in us any voice but your own, so that we can listen carefully and obey your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. May the good news continue to shape us to be more like your Son, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, help us to be kind to everyone we meet and proclaim Christ in all we do and say. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I believe many of us have experienced something similar to the following. Working very hard on a uni assignment, pulling out all night to finish it, only to barely pass with a C-. Staying up late until 3 or 4 in the morning, going home for a few hours of sleep, then rush back to the office, continue the endless grind just to complete a very important project. But in the end, your boss doesn't like it, they reject it, and you have to start everything from the scratch. Or perhaps you have spent a lot of time and efforts, hours and hours, preparing a wonderful lunch for your children or your grandchildren, but they're either too focused on doing other things during lunchtime, like playing, chatting, or something. Or they simply just don't like the food you have prepared for them. They forgot about it, intentionally or not. But then the whole lunchbox came back untouched. At that moment, I think no matter how much you love your children or your grandchildren, you will not be happy, right? You may feel like all the efforts you put in so far seems to have been in vain. We all have some similar experience. We all have some sort of personal story about sacrificing a lot of time, energies, and resources, pulling out our hearts and soul, and making efforts to do something right and noble consistently and persistently. But at the end, people around us, not only do they fail to recognize it or appreciate it, they may even misunderstand our intention and criticize everything that we have done. Why bothering doing so much? What benefits are you looking for? What's your agenda? And the woman in today's passage, I believe, is going through something similar. So let's have a look at this story. It works. It happens in the home of someone's named Simon. And the passage says Jesus is reclining at the table, meaning that he is having a meal with others in this person's house. We don't exactly know why Jesus is there, and Mark doesn't give us a lot of details about this guy named Simon. How old is he? We don't know. Does he have children or grandchildren? We don't know either. What we know about him is that he is someone who is affected by leprosy. It's kind of like skin disease, like eczema or something like that. And it wasn't something honorable. Because in the society at that time, like if someone diagnosed with this disease, they would be deemed unclean and required to be isolated. They would be banned from participating in any gatherings like today, or forbidden to have contact with others. The general public would naturally avoid any interactions with someone like this, with someone who is suffering from leprosy. So Simon, in short, is a marginalized individual, rejected and outcast by the society. And today's passage happened in the home of such a person. And Jesus is there, reclining by the dining table, ignoring, challenging, pushing back all the social taboo like he always does, sharing a meal and interact with those in the house. And let's see what's happening next. It says, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure lard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. So what happened? An unnamed woman breaks her very, very expensive perfume and pour it onto Jesus' head. And that's the first thing that I want us to pay attention to. This woman's action. The text says she breaks a very, very expensive perfume. But how expensive is it? Someone actually tells us in verse 5. They say this perfume could sell for more than a year's wages. Or in other translation, like in NET, it says 300 silver coins. So what could you buy with 300 silver coins, like at the price of that time? Let's do some maths, okay? In the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, you know, the story of five loaves of bread and two fish, Jesus told the disciple to, hey, find something to feed the crowd. And the disciples replied by saying this. Should we go and buy bread for 200 silver coins and give it to them to eat? You see, what does this imply? It implies that the disciples believe 200 silver coins is going to be enough to buy food for 5,000 people. In other words, they believe that 200 silver coins is sufficient to cover the cost. They will not need to stay behind and wash dishes as repayment. So let's do the maths. If 300 silver coins, that means more than around like 100 than 200, right? Like, so one should be able to provide food for more than 5,000 people. So this perfume, if we sell it, we can provide food for more than 5,000 people. But why is this perfume cost so much? Because it is made of pure lard. You see, it is like a very, very super rare plant found only in the mountains of present-day Nepal and northern India. So if you watch any martial arts novel, like Chinese martial art novel, like you may understand it may be a very, those very weird, like very, 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 like, what do you call, like those thousand years ginseng, like that's only grown on the top of the mountain. Or in gaming's term, lard is just like those purple or orange items that cost thousands of in-game currency. You know, like those items, like you have to grind for months. Does that make sense, Gordon? Is Gordon here? Yeah, right? Yeah, does that make sense, Gordon? Yeah. So it's very expensive. It's very, very scared. Like, it's very, very hard to get. And that's why it's expensive. And what makes this perfume even more special is the way it is stored. It's the container. So every pure lard perfume is extracted from the lard trees, okay? And how did the people in the past store those substances? They sealed them in a container that made of alabaster. So a peanut perfume is not like our water bottle that like we can open it and close it whenever we want to. Like, you know, that has a cap on top. No, it is sealed. So whenever someone needs to use it, they have to break it, like the woman did in today's passage. And once it is broken, it cannot be used again. In other words, this perfume was for one-time use only. Once it's open, it had to be used at all at once. So this thing is expensive. And because of this value, because of this expensive thing, like some biblical scholar believe that this item is like passed down through generations in the woman's family. It's like those jewelries and those golden rings, those necklaces and bracelets that some of us inherit from our past generations. You know, when you go to a Chinese wedding, like they will wear those things. So it can be symbolized as a sense of inheritance within her family. It's like a symbol of the connection between the past, the present, and the future. So this perfume for the woman is not just valuable in the price, but also it's in the meaning. Then what does she do with it? She breaks it. Without doubt, decisively, and put every bit of it onto Jesus' head. It's like she doesn't even care about the gain or the loss of her actions or how people around her may perceive her. She is offering this very, very expensive, precious perfume completely and willingly to Jesus, expressing her love for him. You see, brothers and sisters, the main focus here is not about how valuable and how expensive this perfume is. It is on the woman's unreserved sacrifice. And let's pause here and examine our own lives and see what we have offered to God. The New Testament clearly teaches us to dedicate every aspect of our life to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this: "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And I really like Eugene Peterson's interpretation of this verse. He says this: "So here is what I want you to do. God's helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." And what does that mean, brothers and sisters? It means that true worship, true offering to God, is not mainly about performing some rituals or doing some specific actions. It is not just about coming to church on Sunday or attending small group or going to Sunday school. And don't get me wrong, they are great things, and we should keep on going. But true worship, true offering to God, is more about dedicating our entire lives to Him. Just like the woman in this passage who goes all in to offer her perfume to Jesus. It is about following His teaching in all aspects of our life and following His example. It is about humbling ourselves, making daily choices and decisions that's aligned with the biblical truth, and living a life of loving others as ourselves. The question is, are we doing this? Are we holding back in certain areas of our lives? And at the same time, we need to ask ourselves, are we offering our time, our money, and our lives for God? You see, in today's passage, everything this woman does is for Jesus. She doesn't care about the gain or loss. She doesn't have any hidden agenda or any calculations. Her actions were purely to express her gratitude and love to Jesus. Many of us here today have been serving in the church for a long time. Some may even actively serve in other Christian organizations. Again, that's great. That's awesome. We should continue to do so. But I just want to encourage us to take some time and ask ourselves, are we serving to express our love and gratitude for God, like the woman in today's passage? Or do we have another reasons? What is our primary concern in our service? What really matters to us? What really counts in our minds? So the first thing we see in today's passage is this woman offers something expensive and something valuable to Jesus completely and wholeheartedly without any without any doubt, without any hesitation. The second thing I want us to focus on is the reaction of those who are in the house. What are their reaction? Verse 4 to 5 says this. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. So what are their reaction? They are angry. And they chatted with one another, complaining about why this woman would waste so much, such a waste of an expensive perfume. They believe that it is more appropriate to sell this thing and use the proceeding to help the poor. You see, brothers and sisters, their reaction is reasonable in their context because caring for the poor is a core value in Jewish culture. Traditionally, during the Passover celebration in Jerusalem, the Jews would generously give to the less fortunate people. Therefore, like those who are present in the house, would naturally think it's more sensible to sell this costly perfume and use the money to support the poor. And they found this woman's actions unreasonable, and therefore they rebuked her. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how you feel when you first listen to these words of complaint. You might be thinking like me, like when I first read it, like, well, they have a point, right? Like, think about all those in need. Like, if someone could sell this jar of perfume, like, the proceeding can definitely help them in some ways, right? Like, perhaps it could at least provide meals for thousands of people. You see, their complaints, their arguments sound solid and reasonable. But when we look carefully again in this passage, in these two verses, don't you feel a little bit of sadness, a little bit of pathetic about the whole situation? Why? Because you see, these individuals are blind by the perceived value of this perfume, preventing them from appreciating and recognizing the generosity and the sacrifice of this woman. Because of their blind spot, the atmosphere in the room is filled with anger, criticism, and the question, why was this perfume wasted in this way? And brothers and sisters, do you know who are these people? In here, Mark does not explicitly mention their name and their identity. But Matthew is clear that these individuals were the disciples of Jesus. So they're not just random people having a meal with Jesus in the home of Simon. These angry individuals are Jesus' disciples who have been following him for a while. They should have been very well aware of what Jesus was thinking and what he valued. They are dedicated Christians, you may say. And brothers and sisters, let me be frank here. Sometimes we are quite similar to these disciples, right? Aren't we? I mean, think about how often do we use our way of doing things as a standard to challenge others' participation in God's mission. Why are we spending so much money upgrading the church sound equipment? Why are we investing so much time and effort in youth ministries? Why aren't we allocating more resources to outreach and switch evangelism? So often we are just like this disciple, fail to recognize and appreciate the time and effort of our brothers and sisters who have poured out to the ministry and recognizing the sacrifice they have made. We end up saying terrible things that's hurtful to others, intentionally or unintentionally. While we are supposed to be a community that follows Jesus humbly, demonstrating this love and empathy to others, but we unconsciously become critical judge of others. Brothers and sisters, today's passage reminds us that instead of rushing to criticism, like what the disciples did, can we spare some time to appreciate the sacrifice and contribution our fellow brothers and sisters are making for God? As you will see as follow, Jesus acknowledged and valued this woman's wholehearted sacrifice within her capacity. Are we appreciating and encouraging those around us in the same way? So the first thing we see today in today's passage is that a woman dedicates something very precious to Jesus willingly and completely, without holding back. The second thing we see is that some disciples are very angry and harshly rebuking this woman. Their actions remind us to be self-aware, urging us to give our fellow brothers and sisters more encouragement and appreciation for their sacrifice. The third thing I want us to focus on today is Jesus' response. Verse 6 to 9, Jesus says, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. You will always have the poor with you and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand, prepared for my burial. Truly I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Alright, there is so much to talk about in these verses. But today I just want us to focus on one thing. Jesus recognized and valued what this woman has offered. He knows that she has done all she could to do within her capacity. She knows she has done something beautiful, something meaningful for him. He knows she has done something far beyond what she could have ever imagined. Brothers and sisters, today you may feel tired, exhausted, frustrated, unsure if you should continue to serve God in church. Or maybe you are wondering if following Jesus' teaching, learning from his example, bearing witness for him in your context, school or workplace, you're wondering rather if that is meaningful or not. You may be questioning if God really sees your efforts. If that's you, I hope these verses can encourage you some way, because they remind us that Jesus knows what you have done for him. He sees the sacrifice of this woman. He also sees what you are offering for him. When we sing wholeheartedly, using our musical talents to lead others to worship him, Jesus sees it. When we are tirelessly teaching and shepherding a bunch of energetic, yet sometimes, only sometimes, unfocused young members of the church, Jesus sees it as well. He knows the time and energy we poured in. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 says this. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Brothers and sisters, those around us may not understand or recognize the efforts you poured out for the church and for Christ. But Jesus sees it and he knows it. Let's continue to dedicate our lives entirely to the Lord, worshiping him, glorifying him, and proclaiming him. One day we will hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Let us pray. Father, Lord, like you're the God who can reconcile all broken relationships and transform our lives. Not only you have created this world, but you also love everything you have created. We are so grateful for the love you have shown us. And thank you for loving us to the extent of sacrificing yourself for us willingly. This is the foundation of our faith. As we leave this place today, we pray that the Spirit will continue to remind us of the teachings we have encountered in today's passage. We have seen a woman offering her expensive and meaningful pure nard perfume as an act of devotion to you, wholeheartedly, without any hesitation, without holding back. Her actions prompt us to examine our lives. Have we fully dedicated our lives to you? Are there any areas where we are holding back? We also seen the actions like of some disciples to this woman's action. They were angry at this woman, blind by their past practice, their own blind spot, and the perceived value of this perfume. Their reaction reminds us to be self-aware, because sometimes we find ourselves behave like those disciples unintentionally. Sometimes we may use our own standard to judge others. Sometimes we may speak hurting words to others and fail to recognize and sincerely appreciate our fellow brothers and sisters' sacrifice. For this, we ask for your forgiveness and the ability to change. Lastly, we have seen that like you appreciate the sacrifice of this woman for you. I pray that for those among us who feel tired, discouraged, and weary, we'll be encouraged. Because in this passage, you show us that you appreciate our wholehearted dedication, wholehearted offering. Once again, thank you for loving us, and thanks for listening to our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May God help us.